Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. You can tune into 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be at home against Lipscomb. Tip-off is at 1 p.m. and pregame begins at 12.45 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Titans hosting the Houston Texans this weekend, wearing the Oilers throwbacks, and joining us to break it all down is Aaron Wilson. He covers the Houston Texans for KPRC in Houston. And Aaron, appreciate you for joining us. Got the news today that CJ Stroud and Nico Collins are both out on Sunday. I want to focus in on what that means for the Texans not having CJ Stroud.
Right. It subtracts a really dynamic quarterback. He's got a lot of arm talent. Not having CJ is a game changer for them. And so CJ he's in the concussion protocol and he's made some progress, but he's barely been here at the facility all week, and it's just, you know, they're going to emphasize his safety and long-term health as they should. With him out, there's a difference in the offense with the kind of throws they make, and he's able to do off-script and really create passing lanes. A lot of times there are things that he's getting to this second and third progression where other quarterbacks are more first read. And without Nico, I mean, it subtracts a 6'4", 215-pound wide receiver, runs a 4'4", already has 1,000 yards and 60 catches and 6 touchdowns. And he made progress, too, but his calf strain, just like it did earlier in the year, is going to sideline him for this week. And you know, they hope he can get back out there next week. None of this has been made official. This is what I'm reporting.
Right.
They'll have their injury report in a couple hours.
Aaron Wilson is with us. He covers the Houston Texans for KPRC in Houston. So no Nico Collins. And, of course, Tank Dell will be out for the rest of the season after suffering an injury this past week. You got Noah Brown, Robert Woods. Robert Woods, a guy that we know here in Tennessee with a lot of experience in the league. What do you expect to see from those guys?
I think they'll be okay. I mean, I would hope they would play better than they did against the Jets. They tried to target Noah 5 times. That was with CJ, 0-for-5 on targets last week. And he'd had some really good games for them. And then he suffered a knee contusion, missed a few games, and he hasn't gotten back on track since coming back from the injury. So we haven't seen it from him in 3 or 4 weeks where he was playing well. So it's been a while. He had those giant games. And I mean, he's capable of it. I know he feels better this week. I would say, you know, I'm iffy on whether he's going to be a big producer. And then John Metchie III, they tried 5 targets with him, only 1 catch. Last week, Robert Woods, 3 targets, 1 catch for minus 2 yards. So they were all bad against the Jets, including CJ. CJ was outplayed by Zach Wilson, of all people. They're coming off of a really disappointing performance that has damaged their playoff outlook. And now they're really shorthanded against the Titans, or a physical football team, and able to beating anybody or losing to anybody. And more often than not, they lose. But they are still, you know, a tough, hard-nosed team in the Mike Vrabel, you know, mold. And they got DeAndre Hopkins. They got a strong-armed quarterback in Will Levis. This is a tough game for the Texans.
We'll talk with Aaron Wilson, KPRC, there in Houston, discussing this upcoming matchup between the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans here in Nashville. Aaron, not only is there a possibility, it's more likely than not, that they won't have their starting quarterback, both of their starting receivers. But you look on the defensive side of the ball, and the injury to their first-round pick,
Will Anderson?
Yeah, Will Anderson, excuse me. Will Anderson, how much would that be a blow for a defense that seems to be playing pretty well? Take away last week, I know that was probably an outlier. But this defense has been pretty good. So him possibly not being there, how much of a blow would that be for them?
It's significant, and he won't be there. He's in a walking boot with a high ankle sprain, so it may not just be this week. It may be multiple weeks for Will Anderson Jr., and they reported earlier in the week that he would, you know, miss this game and maybe longer. They're not going to have their starting linebacker, Blake Cashman, strained his hamstring, their leading tackler. It's tough. You got to play Derrick Henry. Will is an interesting guy because he's probably a better run stopper, an edge setter, even than his pass rushing, which is very good. He's always winning high numbers in pressure rate. He's got 5 sacks. He's got a lot of quarterback hits. He's not a best finisher. That'll come. He's a rookie. He's, you know, a really young player, 3rd overall pick. Not having him, it's a big deal. Their best pass rusher has been not Will, but Jonathan Grenard, who is healthy, and he just hit the 10-sack milestone last week. I, you know, would say not having both of those guys, it's going to be problematic against Derrick Henry. And who likes to play against him? I mean, the guy's a juggernaut. I mean, he's bigger than Eddie George. You know, he's probably runs as fast or faster. He's, you know, total package of the back. I know he takes a lot of hits, gives out a lot of hits too. And nobody likes being stiff armed by this guy. He'll embarrass you. Just ask Earl Thomas. I think it's a tough matchup for them. They are stout against the run. They've got some really good defensive tackles in Malik Collins and Sheldon Rankins. And I'm concerned about them at linebacker without Cashman, because he's been their best all-around linebacker. And they are shaky in pass coverage. Christian Harris last week really had a tough game against the Jets in the flat. And so did Cashman once he pulled his hammy.
Now, as far as the quarterback, do you – I know not having CJ is a big blow in regards to what he has been able to do this season. He was on his way and may still win Rookie of the Year, and this may douse some of the MVP talk because he can't play this week, and hopefully he can play next week considering the concussion. But is this an opportunity where, you know, because you got a veteran quarterback that has been there in Davis, does it give an opportunity to open up the playbook sort of for them because of his experience on this team and in this league?
Yeah, he's 4-1 against AFC South teams in the past. On, you know, I think he's got a good experience, and he's at one point he was the top recruit in America to Stanford. He was like the number one quarterback. He's always been somewhat inconsistent, and he'll make some good plays, and then he'll have some tough plays, including like late in games. He's streaky and he's talented, but it helps. He's one of the better backups in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then they have a very experienced guy that the last time he started, he won a couple games for the Browns. He was 2-0, Case Keenum. So they've prepared both guys this week. And DeMeco Ryans has not announced his starter, but yeah, they're, he didn't declare Davis at all. Davis kind of hinted like he's going to play, but it's not set in stone that he will. So, yep, keep a close look at, you know, who's under center on Sunday. But I think both guys, it's similar. If it's Case, it's a lot of quick game stuff and handing off. And if it's Davis, maybe a little more, you know, moving around in the pocket a little bit. But, you know, Case is he's 35 years old, so he's – well, he's been around a long time, but that experience is invaluable. It's good to have that.
I'm very curious how the market sits right now in Houston with the position that they're in right now, because they've got a great opportunity. Nobody really expected this much success this fast. Have they been able to sort of keep that in perspective? Because obviously you would probably agree that they've still got a lot of growing to do. But, hey, if you can sneak into the playoffs while you're doing it, all the better.
I think they're already playing with the house's money. They don't look at it like that, but that's how most of the market looks at it, that they were not expected to have a winning record this year or even have a .500 record. They've exceeded expectations. The leadership of DeMeco Ryans really galvanized them, and no one, including them, thought that CJ would be this advanced this fast. So that's been the real revelation for the Texans. You know, they're going to try to make the playoffs, to do everything they can. Just health is really, you know, betrayed them all year. They've had an inordinate amount of injuries. They have very tough practices here, something he believes in. They've had a lot of guys have a lot of soft tissue injuries. Some of them have been suffered in practice, like Derek Stingley Jr. earlier in the year. And it's kind of like the 49ers, where they have tough practices and guys have a lot of injuries, but they also play with a lot of tempo. So it's not an easy environment, and that's how he wants it. He wants practices to be tougher than the games. And I would say, to some extent, it's helped them and it's hurt them too. It's helped them in the sense that they are a competitive team that brings it most Sundays. Last Sunday, they obviously didn't. but they showed up flat and didn't play well in cold weather or in the rain. But I think it's been an Achilles heel for them. If you look at their injury reports, their injury reserve list, it's rough. They finally get their kicker back. That's like one of the few pieces of good news for them. It's Kyene Fairburn, who's made 18 and 19 kicks. He's back and full strength, and he'll be kicking for them on Sunday. See if they can get in field goal range.
Is it still a big thing down there? The Titans will be wearing the Oilers uniforms.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, it's been a long time since the team moved and everything like that. Is it still a something to that fan base, especially given the fact that they'll be in those threads on Sunday?
For older fans, yeah, for that from that generation that were diehard Love You Blues, it means something to them, but they haven't been all that vocal. Maybe they're not all on social media. I mean, there's some people that are annoyed by it and think it's kind of lame here in Houston that the Titans are doing that, but they have the right to do it. You know, those colors belong to them. That was big for Bud Adams. He was not going to move on from that. And I think, you know, they've been, the NFL and the Titans, they threaten litigation against anybody that wears uniforms like that, as they did to the University of Houston, wore similar uniforms for a game earlier this season, and it was a problem. But they did wear them and kind of got a cease and desist order. So I think it's not cool, but, you know, like, I guess from my perspective, I'm not a fan. I mean, I cover the games. I keep score. I report. It's not something I've put any thought into, but I respect the fans and their perspective, and it's emotional for some of them, and they won't like it. But, you know, some of those old Oilers fans became Texans fans, and the Texans have done a lot to try to recruit those fans, starting with Bob McNair when he founded the team, late Bob McNair. So it's something for them. I don't think it's anything for the younger generation. They're going to probably be like, you know, those are cool. We should be able to wear them. That's not right. But they are going to have they have a lot of merchandise that uses those colors already at the team store, and it's popular. The Texans, I'm saying.
I saw a lot of angry Houston fans on Twitter the last time that the Titans wore those uniforms earlier this season. But you know that Twitter is a place for very measured takes and reactions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aaron Wilson, KPRC in Houston. Aaron, appreciate your time. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks, guys. See you Sunday.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, a little bit of news here. So Tyr Tarte has been listed on the injury report, has not practiced the past 2 days. Non-injury related, personal. Didn't practice today, ruled out on Sunday. This just coming out from Paul Kaharsky, headline, Titans moving on from Tyr Tarte.
Wow.
Says the Titans are parting ways with, this is again, PaulKaharsky.com. The Titans are parting ways with Tyr Tarte after season-long issues reached a breaking point. The defensive lineman's been upset over his contract situation, and the team is unsatisfied with his effort and attitude.
Wow. Mm. You talk about losing the opportunity to really set yourself up. Mm-hmm. I really thought, and there were a lot of reports, of, watch this guy. If he hits the market, he's going to make some money. And now here we are.
I still think he's going to make some money. It's just unfortunate. Wonder what truly happened in that, you know, in the midst of things. Why was he so unhappy? Were they not even talking contract negotiations?
Or were the contract negotiations not what he wanted?
Exactly. Because, I mean, this wasn't a problem at the beginning of the season, right? I don't think it was.
So he was one of Vrabel's guys.
Yeah,
but remember before Baltimore,
right?
Frank Wilson said, "Look, I don't want to talk about Tyr Tarte right now." Uh-huh. And that was really kind of the beginnings of some questions. And then Tyr Tarte, the tweets in Baltimore, I forgot exactly what he said. Like, who's laughing now? Something basically
then deleted
mocking
deleted the tweet. Yeah, I mean there's been some stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's been hurt. Mm-hmm. So his.
I wonder if it's. Has he truly been, because I understand and I get sort of both sides.
Did I say Frank Williams? Yeah, I meant Terrell Williams.
Yeah, Terrell Williams.
Excuse me.
I understand both sides. Just like as a coach, you want your guy, listen, if you can play through your injury, play through it, we're going to need you. But then as a player, it's like, well, I play through this injury, I'm going to get hurt. And what if I get hurt more than, you know, are y'all going to take care of me? And it doesn't seem like they were going to take care of him.
That's a tough situation.
That's a tough. So I don't – listen, I'm not – do what you need to do, Tyr Tarte. to make sure you and your family are set when you're done playing this game. And the Titans, they need to do what they need to do as an organization. Mm-hmm. If the relationship has been, you know, damaged, then you move on. He's going to get his money somewhere else because he's a hell of a player. So I'm not going to, you know, sit here and Titans were right, Tier Tart, you were wrong. No, because when you're in the last year of your deal and he's been playing, mm-hmm. it's not like he hadn't been a player for this team, but a damn good player. I can't sit here and say, oh, you need not worry about your contract. Well, if they're messing around with you,
Did say or did not say, don't worry about your contract.
No, I'm just saying, like him. I get it. I understand it. So,
wow.
On both sides.
And the timing of this, with Simmons already out, I believe it was Pico is on IR.
Exactly.
So now he's gone. That's a big question mark.
That's a blow to the defensive line. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely a blow. Again, no Tier Tart this weekend. And per Paul Kaharsky on PaulKaharsky.com, the Titans are moving on from Tier Tart. Kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit, but the timing is definitely not what I expected. Well, let's take it to the bank coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.